French. Frederick Hent, your bookie for tonight's tragic throw of the dice. Debt, we are told, can be a dangerous circumstance. And in tonight's play, The Contract by John Richard Wright, we meet a young man who learns the sad intricacies of deficit financing. Listen, as Les Carlson and Frank Moore star in a twisted tale of a transfer of payment.
I am so late.
Fine?
Yeah. Look, Frank, I've had a few problems.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Brian.
You don't understand, Frank. I don't have the $10,000. I couldn't get it, but don't worry. You'll get it, your money.
That's good enough, Brian.
I swear you'll get every cent.
Hey, take it easy. Calm down. We're friends, eh?
Yeah. Sorry, Frank. It's just... I swore I'd have the money for you tonight.
Sure enough. You'll just have to be a little more careful with your promises in the future, won't you?
Sure, Frank, I will.
So I'll expect it tomorrow night?
Well, I don't know. I tried everywhere. They won't lend me a dime without a steady job. I even tried the leg breakers, but they just laughed at me.
What about your wife? Hard-working woman? Big inheritance?
Borrow it from Noreen?
Why not?
But she'd want to know what it was for.
Tell her you lost more at the track. Tell her your bookie's putting the screws to you.
I told her I didn't gamble anymore.
Everyone gambles, Brian. Life's a gamble.
Here, kitty. That's it. Come to Papa.
There. Oh, poor kitty. You hungry? Poor bloody animals have to survive on the garbage that floats in on the tide. It's a real shame. Why don't you take it home, Brian?
I really don't like cats. I give it the creeps.
Oh, that's too bad. So, you'll have the $10,000 for me by tomorrow night?
I don't know, Frank. I'll try.
Try hard, Brian.
Well, I'd better get home.
Hey, wait a minute, Brian. Slow down. You're always in a rush. Rushing here, rushing there. Hell, you'll have a coronary before you're 40. Take a little time to live. We only passed this way once.
Marine will wonder where I am.
Oh, take a whiff of that salt air. That makes you glad to be alive, doesn't it?
Look over there.
What is it? Wait until the fog clears again. And ship. See it?
Yes.
You know, Brian, that baby's got propellers on it bigger than you. Real monsters. Did you know Freddie Larson?
Larson? No.
Poor Freddie. He and I were standing on a wharf. It was a clear day, so we grabbed a couple of hot dogs and walked over to watch the ship dock while we had a business discussion. The next thing I knew, Freddie was falling into the water, right next to the ship's propellers. While those big old props just sucked him right in. They kept dragging him under the water and throwing him up in the air. Except every time he came up, he was missing something. First it sliced off his arm, then one of his legs, then the other arm and leg, until he was nothing more than a sack of guts. And Jesus, was he screaming. For a second, I thought he was floating away from the props. But then back he went, head first. It was just like someone threw an egg into a fan. One second he's screaming at me to do something, and next I'm wiping bits of his brains off my new suit.
Dear God.
Yes, it wasn't very pretty.
Frank.
Hell, I could hardly finish my hot dog.
I'll get your money for you, Frank.
It was a terrible accident.
Frank.
You see, Freddy owed me money. I sure as hell couldn't collect off a cadaver, could I? Particularly one that had been diced into little kitty-sized chunks.
I swear I'll have the 10,000 by tomorrow night.
What? Hey, don't misunderstand me, Brian. I know you well. Now, you run along home.
Oh, and Brian?
Yes?
Watch your step.
Good morning. Noreen? Oh, I'm in the kitchen, Kimberly.
Oh, I can smell that bacon as soon as I turned onto your street.
Would you like some?
No, thanks. I've already eaten. You'd better hustle your buns if we're going to make the agent's meeting.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kim. I forgot to call you. My car's back from the garage, so I won't need a ride. Mm. Anyway, I think I'm going to be late.
Playing hooky?
Well, I can afford it.
That's for sure.
No, I just have to talk over a few things with Brian.
What's the matter? Isn't he still working on the great Canadian novel?
Less and less, it seems.
Yeah?
Well, I don't know, Kim. There's something bothering him. Lately, he's moody, and he gets upset over little things, and I just hope he's in any kind of trouble.
Trouble?
Who knows? As long as he's not gambling.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's how he got into trouble before we were married. Cost him 3 years in prison.
Well, did you ask him what's wrong?
Oh, you know Brian. He thinks real men keep their problems to themselves.
Well, he lets you support him, and there's nothing manly about that.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry, Noreen. I have a big mouth.
I'll drink to that.
Oh, Brian.
Good morning, Brian. I suppose I should say I'm sorry.
I'd rather you said goodbye.
Oh, Brian. Kim, please, will you stay and have coffee?
No, thanks, Noreen. Oh, I better get going. It's almost 9.
Well, are you going to come to the open house this afternoon?
Yeah, I'll see you there.
Okay.
Morning.
Morning. You were awfully late last night.
Was I?
Uh-huh. I was waiting up for you.
No way. No need for coffee.
Brian, what's the matter?
Nothing. I just don't feel like eating.
I saw Mr. Reynolds yesterday. Remember Mr. Reynolds from the bank?
What did he have to say?
Just that you tried to take out a loan with them.
Did he also tell you that they wouldn't loan me a nickel unless you co-signed for it?
No, you can't blame them, dear. Letters aren't exactly the best risk. Anyhow, I told him there wouldn't be any problem.
You co-signed my loan?
No. I'll loan you directly. Whatever you need. I just don't understand why you went to the bank behind my back, Brian. All you have to do is ask me for it.
That's just it, Noreen. I have to ask for everything. Because you must have close to $250,000 in your inheritance. God knows how much in various stocks and bonds. And we never spend anything. We're not exactly paupers.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to me.
I know it's thanks to you. But now I have a chance to make some money. A guy is letting me in on a sure thing. I can double, even triple my money in a few days. It can't fail.
Are you gambling again, Brian?
No, I haven't gambled since we got married, Noreen.
Then what?
Look, it's an investment. But I have to do this on my own. Can you understand that?
How much do you need?
$10,000.
Oh.
Look, I can understand if you don't want to lend it to me.
It's not that, Brian. I can make out a check to whomever you'd like.
I need cash, Noreen.
Cash? Well, surely a bank draft or a letter of credit would be safer.
It takes too long.
Only a day or two.
Noreen, listen to me. If it's going to do me any good at all, it has to be cash. And I've got to have it tonight.
Brian?
Right here. Have you got it?
In the briefcase.
$10,000.
Are you sure this is a sound investment?
Believe me, with this money, I'm going to make a killing.
I hope so. Where are you going now?
I'm going to deliver it.
But tonight? Everything's closed. It's dark already. Brian, what kind of a deal is this?
We agreed, Noreen. No questions. See you later.
Brian! Oh. Where the hell did I put my car keys? Gotcha.
Glass and sit down.
Feel out of place in here without a tattoo.
Colorful, isn't it? Here, try some of this.
What is it?
Newfie Screech. You like it?
Yeah, it's great stuff. The 10,000 is in the briefcase, Frank. It's all here.
Maureen?
Yeah.
Then there shouldn't be any problem getting a rest.
Rest? What? Yes.
I see myself as sort of corporation guy. Now, people like you who own the money, you have a sort of share in the stock, if you will. The corporation is in trouble, Brian, and I need a little more capital. $5,000 more to be exact. You can understand me. Right.
Sit down. Oh, forget the whole thing.
There. Isn't that better?
Hey, waiter! Bring us another bottle.
Now, I want you to understand something. We have an agreement, a contract, till death do us part. And that's good. Say the man, Brian.
Sure. Keep the change. What change?
Here, have another drink.
No, thanks. I think I'll pass.
I said have another drink. I suppose you'll want to hurry home and make arrangements to get the 85,000. Unless you prefer to take a little walk on the wharf and watch the ships dock.
Maureen, where in God's name have you been? I was worried.
I followed you tonight, Brian, to that bar, the Seaway. I watched through the window and I saw what he did to you. Who is he, Brian?
I met him in prison. I owe the guy money. I had to pay him.
You lied to me.
I'm sorry. I didn't have any choice. I borrowed the money a long time ago, and now he's gotten it back. But he wants $5,000 in interest.
Another $5,000?
That's right. And if I don't give it to him, I could wind up on the bottom of the bay.
Brian, honey, look, you've got to call the police.
No. He's a dangerous man.
That's all the more reason.
Oh, what are you doing?
It has to stop, Brian. Now, I'm through debating it with you. Now, are you going to call the police, or am I?
All right. All right. I'll call them. Just give me the telephone. Yeah. Hello. Police? My name is Brian Tremaine, and I have a little problem. They can't do anything.
What?
Everyone is entitled to charge interest on a loan.
Oh, but it's extortion. He threatened you.
There were no witnesses. He hasn't broken any laws.
Who did you speak to?
I don't know. Sergeant Duncan, I think.
A sergeant? Well, maybe I have to go higher.
I mean, if he hasn't broken any laws, then he hasn't broken any laws. It's that simple.
Look, you paid him, and I'm not giving him any more. Please, honey, just stay away from him.
It's not that easy.
What are you going to do?
Have a meeting with him tomorrow night.
Oh, no.
We'll try to work this thing out.
But Brian, you can't.
I really don't have much choice, Noreen. Either I keep the appointment or he'll come looking for me.
You get the oil, madam?
I'll have a cup of tea with lemon, please. Kim? I'll have coffee.
Very good, madam.
So what are you going to do?
Brian's going to meet him tonight. What's the matter?
I'm worried.
What would you have done, Ken?
Look, Noreen, Brian wasn't straight with you in the first place. He lied to you about this business deal. I would have booted him out for that.
You couldn't help it. Doesn't matter now, anyhow. I don't know whether I should give him another $5,000.
Don't be a fool, Noreen. Brian's 30 years old. He's big enough to look after himself.
Maybe I like the fact that he's dependent on me. We complement each other.
I know. But how many jobs has he had before he decided that he was a literary genius?
That is not fair of him.
I just don't like to see you being taken advantage of by anyone.
Look, let's just drop it.
Oh, Brian's a big boy. He wouldn't go to meet this guy if he thought it was dangerous.
I hope not.
It's me, Brian. Walner.
Get out of here, Brian. Get that freight yet.
I have a little more privacy in here.
Cats.
They go where the food is. And this place is crawling with rats.
Noreen won't give me another cent, Frank.
That's not very good, Brian. You see, I need that money. All right, Kitty. All right, come on up. You know, I've got six of these little guys at home. It's too bad they're all my kids. They seem to like you.
Look, I have a proposition for you.
Come on, let's walk. Needless to say, I'm a little upset that things are turning out this way, Brian.
You can't get blood from a stone, Frank.
Maybe not. But then you're not a stone, right, Brian?
What's happened? Are you all right?
Never mind. Just take your car and meet me.
Meet you where? Where will I meet you?
The Seaway Tavern. And hurry.
Oh, Brian. Come on. Thanks.
Why don't I run you down to the hospital and let them check you over?
Oh, no, really. I'll be all right. What caused it?
Sounds like a combination of a leaking gas tank and a short in your electrical system.
It couldn't have been anything else, could it, officer?
Such as?
A bomb?
Bomb? I hardly think so. There was no evidence of any foreign substances at all. Mind you, that gas tank is a bomb in itself. Under the right conditions, gasoline is every bit as volatile as most explosives.
I see.
Surely no one would want to blow you up, Mrs. Tremaine?
No. No, officer. No. No one would want to blow me up.
What's wrong, ma'am?
Nothing. Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Sergeant Allen speaking.
Yes, this is Noreen Tremaine speaking.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to speak to Sergeant Duncan, please.
We don't have a Sergeant Duncan, ma'am. Can I help you?
You must have a Sergeant Duncan. My husband, he spoke to him last night.
Now, we don't have any Duncan, ma'am, but I'll check out the call.
Oh, yes, please.
What's your husband's name, and approximately what time did he call?
His name is Brian Tremaine, and he called about midnight.
Let's see, Tremaine?
Mm-hmm.
Near midnight.
Right.
All our calls are logged on the computer.
Oh.
Oh, wait a minute. No, that's an invalid address. I'll try again. No, I'm sorry, Mrs. Tremaine. I don't know who your husband called last night, but it wasn't the police.
Damn it, she's still alive.
You wanted an accident, Brian. If you'd let me use dynamite, I'd have sent her through the roof.
With her inheritance and insurance totaling more than $350,000, and me waiting in the wings to collect, the police aren't stupid, Frank. Now what am I going to do?
Don't worry. I'm going to give you your whole $15,000 worth. Now, come into this alley.
What for?
Don't worry, Brian. I just want to show you something.
Another cat.
He's just having dinner. Now, come here, Brian.
If she even stubs her toe now, the police will start adding things up.
Do you want that money, or do you want it to sit in that vault covered in cobwebs?
It's too dangerous.
Look at this.
Hypodermic needle? Have you lost your senses? You try injecting her with poison?
Not poison. Air. I inject a bubble of air directly into her vein. It causes a massive embolism. And, best of all, it will look like a heart attack.
It's too risky.
I think we have a little communication gap here, Brian. I'm not looking for your blessing. As the politicians say, it's not negotiable.
We'll wind up in jail, Frank.
Don't be such a pessimist. Now, tomorrow night, make sure that Noreen stays home. At 10 o'clock, tell her you have to get some cigarettes. And don't come back until after midnight.
Please, Frank.
Here, kitty. Come on. You still hungry? Well, don't you worry. His Uncle Frank will take you home. Before long, we'll all be eating prime rib.
Finding the right cigarette. Noreen? Yeah. My God. Noreen. That fool, he covered you with a sheet. Some natural death. Frank.
That's right. It's Frank.
Noreen. You killed him?
Don't move, Brian. I'll shoot.
Let me explain.
$10,000 for my life? A measly $10,000? Oh, you poor little creep. You never did have a sense of values.
Noreen,
shut
honey.
Up. You didn't even have a guts to kill me yourself. Big man. The extent of your courage was to make a phone call to get me into that car. And I thought they were trying to kill you. Until I phoned your Sergeant Duncan to find out that he didn't even exist.
Please.
I told you to shut up! No wonder you didn't want to bring the police into it. But you couldn't even pull this off, could you? You can't do anything right, Brian.
I never had the bricks that you did. Your parents educated me, left you all that money.
Which I was only too happy to share with you.
Oh, yeah, right. Share, as long as I beg for it. A few dollars for this, a few dollars for that. Never enough to give me any feeling of independence. Maybe you thought I'd run away. Was that it?
Maybe it was.
Look, Noreen.
Don't move. It's settled now.
What do you mean?
What else can I do?
What are you talking about?
Frank was all set to murder me. Until I made him a better offer.
Much better, Brian.
Frank!
Getting a few more shekels out of you was like pulling hen's teeth. But Noreen, she's the soul of generosity. Give me the gun, Noreen.
Yeah.
Middlemen are always a pain, Brian. I mean, $10,000 for a murder? Your wife obviously thinks that even you are worth a hell of a lot more.
You said we had a deal, Frank, a contract.
I'm a practical man, Brian. Noreen's giving me $30,000 to put you away. And that's what I'm going to do. Unless you care to make me a better offer. In cash.
Frank. Please. Oh, God. Don't. Noreen.
Well, what do you expect me to do, Brian? Loan you the money?
Give me the hypodermic, Noreen.
No! Stop!
No!
Could have been you.
Oh, Brian. What are you going to do now? With his body?
Well, I guess I'll have to take him home with me.
Home?
Yeah. You see, I have a lot of hungry little friends who'll be glad to dispose of him.
There are times when tendering the lowest bid can prove to be a bit more than risky. Here's who was involved in tonight's production.
The Contract was written for Nightfall by John Richard Wright and starred Les Carlson as Brian, Frank Moore as Frank, Linda Sorensen as Noreen, and Robin Craig as Kimberly. Also heard were Ron White, Peter McNeil, and David Clement. Technical operations by Derek Stubbs with sound effects by Kathy Perry. Production assistant, Peggy Estey. The Contract was produced and directed in Toronto by William Lane. Executive producer for the series, Don Kowalczyk. And now, our host.
Thank you, Mr. Monroe. On our next Nightfall, we present Beauty's Beast by Burt Campbell. In this tale, the doctor's daughter, Victoria, was disfigured in a car crash, yet now she is more beautiful than ever before. What is the secret of her father's rejuvenation clinic? What is his revenge on the young man she falls in love with? What, indeed, is Victoria's revenge on her father? The play is directed by Stephen Katz. So, until next week, this is Frederick Hend for Nightfall.